You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hey, y'all. Bayou Benders here to talk to you about the latest from our sponsors, DraftKings.
Second round is in full swing and the action increases from game to game. This is where the contenders are separated from the pretenders. To give you some skin in the game, DraftKings will be offering free-to-play pools every day of the basketball playoffs, offering players a free shot at up to $10,000 in total prizes. That's up to $10,000 in total prizes up for grabs each day. The best part is that it's free-to-play. DraftKings free-to-play pools are easy to enter. Just download the DraftKings app, go to pools, and choose from a wide variety of free contests for an opportunity to win cash prizes. All you have to do is answer a handful of questions around what you think is going to happen during the day's basketball games and track your results throughout the evening. Questions will range from which team will hit the most threes to which team will score first. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN when you sign up to get your free shot at thousands of dollars in total prizes every day of the hockey playoffs and basketball. Head to DraftKings pool page to get your shot at huge cash prizes. That's promo code THPN for a limited time only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for full details.
Hello, you're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Mason Dixon, and this is Habs Nightly, your hub for Habs content. I'm joined here after a big fucking dub for La Montreal Canadien. We have split the series in Vegas, coming home to the Bell Center. How are you, Corey?
I'm pretty drunk right now. I had a fantastic night. Got to go watch it on a television for once, not a computer. It was really something. No White Russians. So I guess I'm just drinking beer. This is the new one. We're just on IPAs right now. We'll try that.
IPAs.
Fantastic night though,
nasty.
Man.
Nasty. Yeah. Wait till
you're like 25. You'll start to like, your palate will change again, I guess.
My palate will change.
Every 7 years. Got to give it 7 years.
I mean, I'm going to college in the fall, so I'm going to be on that buck of beer grind.
Yeah. A little bit of Natty Light. A little bit of Keystone Light.
Fucking Keystone Light. Bush. Ugh, worst beer on the planet. But yeah, great fucking win for the boys. Had me a little bit worried near the end there. But, you know, we pulled through. Price was phenomenal. Made a couple game-saving saves, stops to keep them in it. Players of note, I guess we'll start by our quarterback from the back, number 26 from the depths of hell. Fucking the demon looking ass himself, Jeff Petrie, just coming in with just bloodshot eyes. Looked like, I said, he was straight out of the depths of hell. And he made an impact right away, assisted on that Toffoli goal. The breakout was noticeably better. Had a few key blocks, key breakout passes. I thought he was phenomenal tonight.
Phenomenal. I mean, how about just the expectation of not even seeing him in this game? He wasn't even on, you know, the Canadians drop a lineup right, you know, pregame, pretty late into it, almost to game time. He's not listed. It's funny enough, his dad listed, had told somebody, and it was just surging on Twitter, that before the game, he was like, my son will play tonight. And sure enough, me and Dave were super excited. Pointed at the screen, Jeff Petrie comes out with the red line eyes out there, just fucking looking like a Pokeball. but man, it's just great. It's just a great feeling after a big win and feeling like the team's that much better with Jeff Petrie out there, you know?
Yeah, and apparently, according to his wife, it was much worse a week ago. We're not sure what caused it, but basically, it's just a hemorrhage in the eye, some bursted blood vessels. It happens. Mm-hmm. I was making jokes that the fucking weed in Vegas must hit different.
But a little bit of somebody had brought it up to me on Twitter, a little Louisiana Vegas fan, and I put smelling salt kush, you know, like a little pregame.
Well, it's the painkiller, right? Just get fucking high off your mind. You don't feel anything. Yeah, but I, like you said, played phenomenally. Weren't even expecting to see him. The Habs actually announced the lineup 2 hours prior to the game, and he wasn't in it. So it was definitely a very pleasant surprise. Another standout, he kind of faded near the end of the game as things got tighter, but Cole Caulfield was absolutely phenomenal tonight. He created that Toffoli goal. By just his stick, I've noticed about Cole Caulfield, his stick handling is very quick. Like I don't know if it's because he's small, but he kind of, it looks very choppy and quick. And he faked this shot, and obviously you have to respect the shot, and pass it to Toffoli for a beautiful goal to extend his point streak to 8 games in the playoffs. So I thought he was a key standout. Obviously, like I said, faded near the end, but you know, things got tighter. He wasn't playing as much.
He had a great look a little bit, probably about midway into the game, maybe closer to the third. He had that nice look. He was at the right of Fleury's net at the bottom of the screen. He kind of threw it. It looked like it was going dead center all the way to the right, and it was a gap in Fleury's pad. So he just had a really remarkable look also. And I told Dave, you know, Dave's like, you know, he's already got a goal. Look for this kid to be a little bit looser, a little bit more.
He was
expressive. This entire team was very expressive tonight. Just the little things, minor passes to move the puck away from a little bit of a scrum happening along the boards. You know, just played such an impressive game tonight.
Yeah, I was very impressed with Cole Caulfield. I think it was clear the confidence he received from that goal was pretty great. And just his confidence on the puck has been phenomenal. He knows he can already slice through guys. Like, he knifes through guys and makes plays. And it's funny because he doesn't only create stuff for himself. He creates it for others, like Toffoli, because guys realize that you give that guy an inch, he's firing the puck past you. And they play him real fucking tight. And I think that's why we've seen him getting these nice assists lately. Obviously, I think it goes without saying Carey Price was phenomenal tonight. But another player who didn't show, I don't know if he showed up on the score sheet. I don't think he did, but I thought played phenomenally as well, was Nick Suzuki. Almost scored an absolute screamer. Made key defensive plays. I thought he was just absolutely exceptional tonight.
Yes, he was. What you call it? No, he wasn't. He wasn't part of any of the goals. Excuse me, but he looked really good. There was a couple of moments like the entire team looked like they were trying to do it. It looked like NHL at some point, you know, like a little bit of NHL 21 out there, a lot of dangles. But that one off of Marc-Andre Fleury, right, where he was able to try to spin back around, turn back,
oh,
and
put phenomenal.
It and he padded it up, you know. Obviously, Carey Price had a great game, but so did Marc-Andre Fleury. You know, a couple of things moved past him, but. There were so many shots that were just remarkable saves by him, and I'd be remiss if I didn't bring that up. But I just remember seeing that, and I was like, oh my God, that's the type of goals that are going to get us through this series if we move on. Like the first one, we haven't talked about it yet, but this fourth line has been incredible. But it's goals like Armia's that are, if we have a true shot at this. Moving past this team, it's going to be goals like that, finding a way past Marc-Andre Fleury and catching a very rare rebound off of him.
And that was Armia's fifth of the season. I don't think it can be overstated how effective that fourth line and how pivotal they've been to our success. Not just Corey Perry or Armia. Eric Staal has put up, I don't have the number right off my hand, a phenomenal amount of points. They have 24 combined points, 10 goals. they have played exceptionally. They go battered and bruised, fucking mess up guys behind the net on the forecheck, in tight. They're all huge, but they have all got great sticks too, and they work so well together. And right before they scored, they were cycling around behind the net, and I said to my dad, when they play like this, good shit happens. And like 30 seconds, well, not 30, like a few seconds later, Armia scored. It was phenomenal.
Well, Eric Staal's got one goal for 7 points in the playoffs right now. But how about holding each other accountable and sticking up for each other? That that Perry hit was a bit nasty. But love seeing Eric Staal just trying to jump in there for his line mate. And then, you know, just great to see Corey Perry bounce up and just, you know, continue to jab back at it. But
Ryan Reeves is a fucking donkey. What a fucking loser. That guy contributes absolutely nothing. He's just there to hurt people. And I know I think we discussed it last time. He's a fucking dinosaur in the NHL. And I'm going to absolutely hate him. But what really pissed me off, like not officiating, we will talk about that, but mm-hmm. What pissed me off more from the Vegas bench was Pete DeBoer trying to fucking yell at the refs that they called the play when Edmondson's laying face down on the ice.
Are you talking about
when he got cross-checked in the back?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
They called the play, and DeBoer spent like 30 seconds complaining about them. Like, dude, shut the fuck up. I know it's the semifinals. Show some goddamn respect. The guy's laying face down on the ice. You mm-hmm. fucking call the play.
Right. How about the one with I can't see who's grabbing him, but kind of grabbed him from behind and just kind of threw him to the ground right by the boards. That was kind of
through who, what?
I'm sorry. Ben Sherrod getting knocked to the ground. He got grabbed from behind, players like right on his back, kind of hugs him from behind and just brings him down kind of with like the top of his body, like around his neck. So it was behind Carey Price. It was a bit excessive, but
there was a lot of missed calls, and I think it's absolutely bullshit that Vegas didn't have a penalty kill. Like, they didn't kill a single penalty. Montreal didn't get a single power play. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I saw someone making jokes that Vegas didn't play like Saints, you know, talking about the New York Islanders comment. But it's true, okay? Vegas is a dirty team. They should get penalized a lot, especially with the way they play. They take penalties. They are a rough, bruising, grinding team. They should almost never finish a game without a penalty kill.
Right.
And there were some very blatant ones. The most blatant, I think, of all was Nick Suzuki trying to skate to the bench mm-hmm. and getting just hacked down onto the ice. Like, clearly, like, the stick just went straight between his legs, tripped him in front of the official. Habs iced it, and it led to the second goal that got Vegas back into the game. That was absolutely brutal. We saw Kelly Frazier, a retired referee, tweeting about it, saying that was a penalty, and in regards to the Edmondson one as well. But I don't know. I know that a lot of people say, you know, it's good, keep the ref's whistle in the pockets. If they're doing it for both teams, fine. But Montreal had to kill 2-3 penalties tonight.
Two of them.
Like, dude, you gotta give us one. I don't like the game management, quote unquote, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it. I get that, but holy fuck, like you're going to ignore some of that shit. You better give us a fucking call. It's brutal, man.
Right. It's almost like a cash back feature, like a fucking ATM now. It's like, we didn't give you anything today, but we'll give you a percentage maybe next game. You know, we might be up 2% on a possible call going home. But yeah, it's tough. Like you said, this is a very abusive team, and I don't mean any disrespect to them. They just play they're just a very heavy hitting team. They come with a lot of tenacity, and you know, game two, it seemed. You know, it seems like after 60 minutes, we look like we have a little bit of an idea to play against them. But what is possibly a moment was like a set apart moment in this game tonight. Maybe nothing that was like a goal, or maybe just something that was just mid game that, that really helped keep momentum with us.
I just thought the play of our youth, especially like in the play of our fourth line, like the young guys have come in and battled every night. I thought KK didn't have a great game, but I thought he played decently. Josh Anderson kept off the score sheet. I thought actually played pretty well. Had a few great looks. But if I had to pick one big difference, it's got to be Jeff Petry, because Montreal was able to go back to their game plan of playing four defensemen, rotating them out, making them play big minutes, and they were getting some breakout. Like, Romanov's going to be that guy for us someday.
Mm-hmm.
He will. But he's not yet. And it was just clear the impact Jeff Petry had on the game right away. Even injured, he is our breakout. Like, the guy competes, he's tough, he can make defensive plays, he can provide offense, he is our best defenseman, he's the best defenseman in the North Division, and he shows why. Like, the guy is a gamer and this team needs him to win, so it's just great that we had him back. Like, he single-handedly changes everything for the Montreal Canadiens. I really think he's that vital.
Awesome. No, I agree. I mean, one game back and we still won away. He's just something about him when he's out there. You know, I feel like he really is a stand up captain amongst the teammates, you know, just a leader in the room. But I guess for mine now, I don't know who did it. But it was a play I noticed in the first period. Our first penalty, whoever laid down and blocked that opportunity off of one of the first shots on goal for Vegas in the power play was so big for us, because that first power play, we kind of controlled it a little bit, but we were looking at Vegas was getting good chances coming up with an odd matchup coming in, you know, like a 2-on-1 or a 3-on-2 situation. And just to lay the body like that, whoever laid out and got that, kudos to them. But I guess my player, I got to go with Philip Deneau. And I know that they gave him the first star, but
did they really? I didn't stick around to watch it.
The last four face-offs, Deneau won three of them, and they were so crucial. I believe it was two in our end. Two or three in our end and one in theirs. And it was just, it was so clutch. In fact, he had a 61 overall percentage in this game. This is the best face-off collective I've seen from the Canadiens.
They were dominant. Season.
58% is a statement, especially coming off the previous night with a 56. That's great. But you see what happened tonight, two goals off the faceoff. This is something that we've kind of talked about on the podcast, is something that kind of gets away from us. We let away a lot of faceoffs, but two dominating games faceoff wise, but tonight was the big one. I've never seen it that percentage that high in a while.
Well, I think it's important that we do talk about that more, because we talk about Montreal was at 1.66% on the faceoffs, and Vegas had still scored two goals off the faceoff. We need to be that dominant, because if you can imagine, if we're that dominant and they still score two goals off the faceoff, there's problems if they're beating us.
Right.
If they're over 55%, we're in trouble. And, you know, I think there are a lot of things we can do to change that. I think they had some lucky bounces in the first game. Price got unlucky getting screened, but you can do things to change that. You can change your stick position. You can box guys out from in front of your goalie, which Montreal typically has done very well in the playoffs so far. But I got to say, pushing Toronto around is a lot different than trying to push Vegas around.
Yeah. These kids look massive.
Yeah. And it's something we're going to have to make adjustments for, but it's something I think Montreal is capable of.
Another big thing, it's not really talked about a lot, but our hits and blocks, 53 hits to their 45, and then 26 blocks. We don't really bring that up a lot, but I think that was very important this game, is that we did not allow them to feel like they can physically dominate us. And then we found a way to disrupt them even further defensively with everyone on the team. Man, this is one of the best games I've seen. This team definitely showed that they belong to be present in these playoffs, you know, especially this deep into the playoffs. I feel like this was a very dominating win, and a win that it might not be anything, but if it is, this is like the type of win that
huge.
This is one that you could say is a pinnacle point, you know, like you've been doubted two series. This is a third series you doubted. You get waxed the first game, and it really wasn't that. I don't know. I don't even want to talk about that. We did all right, but this is a statement. You know, it just proves that this team isn't going to dominate us like they think. I guess.
I think
if it's one win,
Montreal taking this game and splitting the series at Vegas is huge, because you know that it's a barn. It's a tough building to play in. And Montreal being able to split it is vital. And we're going into our home games now with an opportunity to come out, go into Vegas 3-1. When you look at it that way, you realize it's a big win for Montreal.
Is a fact. Britannia Emrith on Twitter posted Tyler Toffoli's now at a nine-game point streak. Last time that was done was 1992-93 with Vincent Danfoss.
Toffoli?
Yeah.
Wow. I saw Cole Caulfield has the longest point streak by a 20-year-old player since who was it? I'm blanking now. number 27, 1987. I know the stat. I just can't think of the name.
Our team?
Yeah, fucking. Whatever. Someone will know who I'm talking about. I'm too young, so I can't think of it off the top of my head, but it was a pretty impressive stat nonetheless for a franchise as old as Montreal.
Yeah. That's awesome. And obviously we're still waiting on that for Kaka Niemi to find the back of the net and just move higher up in that, you know, the youngest guys list. But man, anything else you want to talk about? I know this one's going to be a little bit short. We're recording right after the game, folks, but anything else that really stuck out to you in this game?
Honestly, I'm too tired, particularly. it's 12:47 in Eastern Standard Time, so I'm a little tired. But, yeah, I think we've covered a lot of it. Unfortunately, I'm going to be working Sunday, so you're going to have to take the reins for that game. But I'll be having a fucking grand old time. Restrictions have eased a little bit in Ontario, so I'll have a few of the boys over. Awesome. Absolutely belligerent Avs fan who wants nothing more than to see Vegas fail after what they did to them last series. So it's going to be a fun time. Probably have some stories to share on Monday about that. But yeah, it's going to be, I'm just excited to see what the Bell Center is going to be like. There's going to be 3,500 people there. Obviously it's a little disappointing that there's not more. But Quebec is doing it right. They only had 100 cases of COVID-19 today.
Great.
And, you know, in a few weeks, we could possibly see the Bell Center. You know, if Montreal sticks around in the playoffs, we can maybe see the Bell Center at half capacity. Maybe pray for full, but I doubt it.
We were talking about that, actually. I was talking with Dave. I was like, how crazy is it? One, the crowd was very quiet tonight. And obviously, you know, things change. But just how intense they were, they got, especially after it went to 3-2, it got super loud in there. And I was looking at Dave, and I'm like, dude, just 18,000+ fans is going to sound a lot different from 2-5. So hopefully that French Habs fan is right, that 2-5 is going to sound like, you know, 25,000. But we definitely have to bring it. And I love the fact that there was a lot of Habs fans at this game. Just made me happy.
Yeah. Understandably so. And there was a sea of red, really. Like there was a decent amount of
little blotches everywhere. Look like a map of all of Michigan's fucking lakes. Just little dots everywhere, little collections of it. Hey, did you happen to catch that they have a Leafs fan with like a fucking Canadian's look like he just printed it on some paper and just taped it to his fucking jersey.
I didn't see that, but I did see we need to mention it because we got to plug our fucking Daddy Dano shirts. But did you see the two Habs fans with pizza hats? They had pizza.
No, that's awesome.
They were wearing pizza on their heads. It was fucking amazing.
That is awesome. No, I'm gonna have to keep a lookout for that, especially next game. But yeah, folks, those shirts are available. We dropped the price down a little bit. Did not realize how expensive it was to ship to Canada, and that's just not fair to you guys.
Yeah, it was like what, 30, 35 bucks. Yeah, 35 dude, bucks Canadian.
Because I sent one, and we didn't talk about it. We'd like to thank Nate Thomas. If maybe we did talk about him, a bit fucked up, but Nate Thomas, a guy from the Quack Report, the Ducks team on THPN. Came up with the design for us, and when I happened to ship his to him, I was like, it was like plus $13 just to ship to Canada. I was like, that's fucking bullshit. So I dropped it down. I was like, it's not fair to anybody that wants to buy their shirt, you know. So we dropped the price down a good bit for you guys. But that shirt and our Habs Nightly shirts are available at habsnightly.whatforapparel. You could find our merch page. But shit, Mason, you got anything else, bud? Any golf stories?
Well, I went golfing with the old man this year.
Okay.
A little par 9 called the Mill in my hometown. And
the Mill.
You know, I've been on a heater lately, right? Playing the best golf of my life, just ripping up courses, finally like pretty consistently shooting mid-90s, playing well, feeling good. My drive's been on. Well, we talked, I think we discussed, right, how my drive's been kind of hooking a little bit weirdly lately. You know, I was trying to sort it out. So I thought, you know, I'll take the old man out. He golfs like once a year. He's old, right? Whatever.
That's rude, but okay.
Oh, dude. Fucking hell, did the world bring me down a peg. I shot the worst round I have shot in a year and a half. Fucking, I played this course. Okay, I played, it's a par 9. It's a 9-hole course. Par is 34. I shot 45. A week before coming here. Fucking get out there. First hole is a par 5. I made a 10.
Mm-hmm.
Get to, I think I bogeyed the next two holes. Get to the fourth hole. Halfway through. Here's how my day goes. Halfway through the hole, it's a long par 4. Cart breaks down. I have to go to the clubhouse. Get a new cart. My dad is going for his second par of the day. Or no, I think he was putting for birdie. Anyway, so I finished the day shooting a nice solid 64. I pretty much doubled the par for the course. Worst I've shot all year. Worst I have ever shot. This was the third course I ever golfed. Okay, so it was the third shot worse than I've ever shot here before. Mm-hmm. When I was beginning, I started out this course. And this man pulled in a fucking 44. The best round he's fucking shot in years. Made multiple pars. I saved myself, too. I made a par. And I still shot 64. This guy just fucking, I don't know, decided to show me that the youth movement hasn't taken over next yet. Got to respect my elders. Props to my dad for absolutely kicking my ass. But yeah, the swing's broken right now. So We'll have to get about fixing that at the driving range.
Man, I love it. Sorry. I'm sorry to hate on you, but Love You Dead came out there and just fucking greased it up all day. Still got it. Fucking
slimy bastard, man. Talking about, ooh, I haven't golfed this. Dimes. He hits the ball a dimes a drive. His first shot. I'm like, uh-oh. No, we're in, man. One. Oh, it was brutal.
Oh, that's hilarious. Well, folks, we're about to wrap it up. Before Mason closes us out, I wanted to bring up Mason's favorite Louisiana hockey team has taken the South Division. That is the Shreveport Mudbugs. They're going to be playing Shevers Pit. Mudbugs are going to be in the conference final. They'll be playing, I believe it is the Maine Nordiques. Pretty sick.
The Maine Nordiques.
Make sense of it. I don't know. If they got a Florida Lee, you know, obviously the really OG that like sky powder blue with the red.
Basically a bunch of Quebecers from Quebec City just fucking took a 2-hour trip to Maine and
100%
a hockey team.
100%. Just a little shuttle system back and forth. But
that's awesome.
Pretty sick. Shreveport's looking really good. They're in the Final Four, obviously, but won their championship, which is called the Robertson Cup, back in 2018, looking to do it again. But keep you informed, Mason. I don't think anyone else fucking cares. But
man, let's hop on the Shreveport train.
Oh, I'm on it. We need to get you believing. But
once I believe it's actually a place, maybe I'll be able to hop on the train. But until I get that confirmed.
You'd love it. You'd love it because you're going there and there's people wearing the Mudbugs jerseys. And then it's just, it's almost like
you show me a picture of this place, right?
Yeah. It's not the biggest place.
A fucking barn.
Dude.
It looks like it's a barn.
It's beautiful. It's awesome. It's in a dome. It's like the mini Superdome. It's all red and shit. But
mini Superdome.
What I like about it, it's like a Comic-Con, dude. So you got people that are there wearing their Mudbug stuff, and then you just have a collective of just hockey fans wearing their team's pride. So it's wild. Like, you can just go in there and have a conversation with anybody, and everyone's got their favorites. Everybody's got their rivals and shit like that. I think it's cool. Just go up in there with a Canadian jersey, and people want to fucking talk to you. Or you know, or any type of jersey. It's sick. You see a lot of OG jerseys in there too. A lot of older fans that are just rocking like a Mike Modano fucking OG North Stars jersey and shit like that. It's pretty cool. But we're just on a rambling train. So why don't you take us out of here, my friend?
Well, obviously, I don't know. I think it's been a little shorter of an episode, but
yeah, right about 30 minutes right here. So
we're a little tired. We'll probably have a bigger one. We usually do on the Sunday recording, the Monday episode anyway. Once again, just thank you guys for the support. Obviously, we're fucking pleased. Got absolutely ripped tonight to the Habs. Big victory. Coming away 1-1 from Vegas is that's a dub. Like, we're doing what we came out to do. Going in 2-0 would have been great, but at least we're not coming out 0-2. Going back to the Bell Center, the place is going to be buzzing. You know, just excited to come back and talk to you guys, hopefully after two victories in the Bell Center. Once again, thanks for listening, and that'll be Habs Night for tonight.
Talk to you guys later. Thank you all so much.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
I'm Corey Francha.
I'm Richie Suave Flores.
And this is Sporty with Corey and Richie Suave.
On the Hockey Podcast Network.
What did I just listen to?
Oh, this game is just bullshit now.
Oh my gosh. They actually made me feel uncomfortable. What was it? Panty what?
The game has gone to bullshit.
Panty melted?
Why do we record these during the middle of games? Oh, God.
Be sure to listen to Corey and I every Monday. We are your go-to source for the Arizona Coyotes on the Hockey Podcast Network.